Hello, friends. I'm Luke, and I serve on the music team at Holy Family. We continue to hear stories from people like you who listen to the Holy Family podcast and consider Holy Family your church. And whether you're someone who's constantly on the go, hasn't found a church community where you live to which you can belong, or someone who's wondering about the shape of your faith, we are honored to be with you by sharing these reflections from our Sunday liturgies. We rely on the generosity of our congregation, which includes you wherever you listen, to help our ministry achieve and maintain financial health. If this podcast has been a gift to you, would you consider making a contribution so that we can continue offering resources that welcome questions, curiosities, and doubts? You can make a gift by following the link in our show notes. That's at holyfamilyhtx.org. From Holy Family HTX, an Episcopal church for people without a church, this is the Holy Family Podcast, a collection of ideas about leading a Jesus-centered life. We clearly explore the church's understandings while bringing our own questions, curiosities, and doubts, and we never demand fake agreement. Theological exploration is just better that way. So, let's take a moment of silence as we get ready to contemplate today's ideas.
I wonder if you know what it is to experience a gut-wrenching loss. Mary, and Salome have just experienced one of those losses. Jesus has died a terrible death at the hands of others, at the hands of the authorities, and he has been buried in a tomb. Now the Sabbath is over, a new day dawns, and they bring spices to anoint his dead body. And along the way, they talk about ordinary brass tacks logistics. We're going to need somebody to help us move away that big old stone. That thing's heavy. I don't think we can do that by ourselves. Now, if you have ever experienced one of these gut-wrenching losses like they have, I think you can understand this moment. There is a time when tears and mourning saturate your existence after a loss. And then it's not that they go away, but it's like the ordinary, everyday realities just suddenly poke themselves back in the midst of your grief and say, hello, there are still other things that you must attend to. Right now. Oh, I have got to put my HEB order in. I didn't actually respond to that email, did I? Hey Siri, remind me to respond to her email in 20 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to clear out my dad's house. He's not here anymore. But everything the man ever collected is. And I don't know how I'm going to move it. They pull up to their loved one's tomb and they wonder how they're going to roll the stone away. Now, to their surprise, when they walk up, someone has already done it for them. Perhaps this is an act of hospitality, they wonder. But then, almost like a weird A24 film, they poke their head inside and things get weird quick. Jesus' body is not there. Just some rando sitting there on the corner waiting for them. And this person sitting has the Easter message. Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. There's where they laid him. He's not here. Y'all should go. Go find the other disciples, especially Peter. And you should go because he's not here, which means he's out ahead of you. One of the things that I love about this Easter text, unlike some of the other Easter texts, you know, in the other Easter texts, you get this close encounter with Jesus and he speaks things and he comforts them and he's there. And on one of them, they even like breathes on them. So like you get this really close proximity with Jesus. But I don't know, something about the Easter text this year that I kind of love is that there's one crucial component of the Easter story that doesn't show up in this Easter story. You know who it is? Jesus. He's not here to say anything. He's not here to do anything. The whole point is that, yeah, he's not here. Not around. You don't get to have an up-close personal encounter with Jesus today because he's not here. And I just have to kind of think that for some of us, that might be good news. In Mark's Easter, we don't get a close encounter with Jesus. In Mark's Easter, we're too late. He's already gone. Mark is not trying to induce warm spiritual feelings in us. Mark says, no, sorry, the cat's already been let out of the bag. The cage has been let open. He's gone. He's let loose on the world. Be careful. You can run. You can hide. But if he just did to death what we're all pretty sure he did to death, I'm not quite sure what he plans on doing with the rest of the world. So good luck. He's not here. In Mark's Easter, we are summoned to go try and find Jesus now that he has been released and thrust upon all of God's creation. Jesus is a little Lord that will never stay confined to any little box that we try to put him in. It's one of the silliest things that we creatures try to do to God. On Good Friday, we tried to pin him down for good. That didn't work. We put him in a tomb to contain him. That didn't work. Jesus is always bursting out of the confines and constraints that we create and say, you can be here. And we domesticate and try to tame this God to stay put. And Mark's Easter comes and pops that bubble for us. Mark's Easter does not end in pastel or seersucker or Easter egg hunts. Mark's gospel ends with Mary and Mary and Salome fleeing the scene with equal parts terror, amazement, and fear. And so, if today is one of those Easter Sundays where you just think, yeah, whatever I think I'm supposed to be feeling on Easter Sunday, I ain't got any of that today. Like, I'll come and say, yes, happy Easter. Yes, happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to you. Thank you. Happy Easter. But if on the inside, life's just not going great right now, and it's pretty crazy, and it's actually marked by fear and unknown and feeling like you don't know what's next, and maybe even a little terror, Mark's Easter is for you. Because life's not actually held together all the time. Life doesn't always make sense a lot of the time. Now, control, people who like control, I'm guessing, here, just spitballing here, that's not always great for them because we like to keep things controlled and predictable. But now that the tomb is empty, it can be quite unsettling. Something that has helped me in the unsettling is a writing. It came out in 1968 by Herbert McCabe. And Herbert McCabe reflected upon the empty tomb and he said this: the resurrection is not a religious event. He goes on to say, this is a rather important point because there are some Christians who think The resurrection of Christ simply means that although he died, now he lives on in our hearts. No. The basic objection to this way of thinking is that that reduces the resurrection down to merely a religious event, and one that really only makes a difference primarily to what goes on inside the church for church people. But for Mark, the resurrection is a cosmic event. It's a worldwide event. And it means that now Jesus Christ is present to the whole world. Believers or not, he's present for everyone. The resurrection means not that a church was founded. It means the whole world is now different. And the church exists to articulate this difference in the world, to show the world to itself now that it is on the receiving end of this prowling resurrected Lord, calling us all back to life when we would prefer the ways of death. The resurrection is not a religious event, it is a cosmic event. And that means, believe it or not, resurrection is here. And it works whether you're buying into it or not, because it's about God. Now, because the resurrection is God's free act to raise Jesus from the dead, God did this so that Jesus can keep on ministering in the world. Now, this is a really crucial point, because sometimes it is tempting for religious people like me to think, well, Jesus had a really good 3-year run. He put in a lot of really hard work, and then he got snuffed out and just floated back to heaven or something, and is just kind of sitting up there, and now it's over to us. Well, Mark's Easter comes and says, sorry, no, Jesus has not retired from ministry. Now, he can't be stopped. Now he is continuing his work in the world. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He is out, still proclaiming good news, still summoning and sending people out who didn't necessarily ask to be summoned and sent out. He is still tending the sick. He is still giving rest to the weary. He is still blessing the dying. He is still soothing the suffering. He is still, in this moment, pitying the afflicted, and he is forever shielding the joyous. You thought this God could be stopped? No. Jesus is just getting started. And one thing that he will never do is be held down, especially by people like you or me. Therefore, Mark's suggestion for us is, maybe don't try to hold on to Jesus this year. Now, I know that might seem odd to hear from someone like me in a get-up like this, in a place like this, at an inconvenient hour like this on a Sunday morning, to tell you not to hold on to Jesus tightly. I mean, wouldn't you expect me to say, hold on with everything you've got? Come on, muster it up, dig down deep. Find the faith, just a little bit will work, and you just hold on tight and give it everything you've got, because you've got to believe. And Mark just kind of says, eh. You know what the problem with that approach is? It's totally self-centered. It's all about you and how interesting your little faith is, and how, ooh, I really feel it today. And that's cool. If you came in today and you really feel it, I'm honestly glad for you. That's really great. I'm just here to say, a day will come when you don't. And that doesn't need to be a catastrophizing day for you. That's just actually how real faith works. Some days I wake up and think, yeah, I think I believe all this. And then other days it's like, well, okay, let's go. And there's a kind of weird freedom in that, where it's actually about God and not me. And it's actually making God the center of this faith and not me. We too often tell the story from the wrong perspective. The whole point is that it is about God and not you. And too often people come to the church for help. And unfortunately, we find really like soothing, sweet ways to turn them back on themselves. We practice really good listening skills and go, wow. Yeah. Well, good luck. Hope you figure that out. And we just turn people back upon themselves all the time and say, you go figure it out. You better go find that faith. You need to muster the prayers up. Instead, we need to be telling people to thrust themselves upon God and say, cast your cares on God. You can't do this. I don't have a lever to pull. I don't have a button to push. I can't fix this for you. We're just going to have to really trust that that empty tomb means that God can do things we will never be able to do. We've got to put our hope and our trust in a living God. Because if it's just us, well, here's what we got. But with God in an empty tomb, God can do things beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. And we need to actually be the kind of people who dare to believe that God might actually be more interesting than us. So I encourage you this Easter to resist the urge to make Easter yet another opportunity to make it about you. I have tried that game, and actually, I got pretty good at it. And I just got to tell you, I think it's a boring game. It's not even fun to play. Those kinds of religious games where you just make it about yourself, it's just like, I don't know. I just don't find myself that interesting anymore. I guess I'm just kind of over that game. And Mark says, you can quit that. You don't have to be about you. Easter is about God and God's work of resurrection. Easter is about you discovering just how deeply loved you have always been by God. And even when you try to domesticate and tame and hold this God down, Mark says, now, don't be alarmed, but he's not here, okay? He has been raised. So scram. Get out of here. He's not here. Why are you here? He's not here. That's Mark's Easter message, Holy Family. Don't stay here. Go. Jesus is not here. Yeah, he left a while ago. So maybe you should like go try and catch up with him. He's out doing something. He's bringing somebody to life. And he loves to bring people to life and then turn to some of his friends and say, okay, now take care of them while I go on ahead of you and then catch up with me so that you can participate in what I'm doing. Try and catch up with what God is doing out in the world this Easter. Open your eyes and imaginations to see what Jesus Christ is continuing to do with you outside of this place, outside of your own solo self. And instead of exerting your energy and your time fretting about whether you asked for this religious experience or not, or whether you are feeling particularly pious or holy, or whether you're feeling religiously disgruntled, or whether you have all the faith to move all the mountains, or if you're just really not sure about any of this stuff most of the time, whether you live a very respectable, ethical life where all of the I's are dotted and all of the T's are crossed with no spelling errors, or if you're just a dirty, rotten scoundrel, as important and meaningful as those introspections might be on this Easter morning at least, they are actually beside the point. The point is that he, not here, and Easter is not merely a religious event only for religious people. Easter, resurrection, that's for everyone, especially you.
You can find more resources to help you lead a Jesus-centered life at holyfamilyhtx.org. Again, it's holyfamilyhtx.org.